No, my friends, we are training faith in the fact that we are dead to sin. What does that mean? How does it work? What does it imply? Colin Cook here, and how it happens, thanks for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on the gospel, plain and simple, the good news. Do you know I say plain and simple because it is so sad that so much of teaching and preaching today is not about the gospel. It is about how we do this and how we do that and what we need to do and what we need to get rid of in our lives. There is no good news around. There is, I don't want to exaggerate, but it is getting clouded, my friend, and it is time to blow the clouds away with the good news. This is what this broadcast is about, and it is also how to train our faith in the good news in regard to the struggles we go through in life so that we know we have an anchor in God, a certainty in all of our difficulties. Now, we're in chapter 6 of Romans, and this chapter is talking about freedom from sin. We have talked about freedom from law, freedom from abandonment, wrath, that is, in chapter 5. Paul is describing the great issues or the great realities of the kingdom of grace, the new aeon in which we live. We are no longer under God's wrath. We are reconciled to Him. That's chapter 5. And we are no longer under sin. We died to sin. Now, look, my friend, don't get it wrong. If you have not been listening to these broadcasts in the last week or two, I would say, I urge you to go to the website to catch up to where we are on chapter 6. Otherwise, you're going to misunderstand what I'm saying. Website, what's that? Where's that? That's Faith Quest's website, and it's called faithquestradio.com. Faith Quest Radio, QUEST.com. By the way, I spell out Quest because we have a phone company in Denver that's called Quest, and they spell it QW, and we're all getting mixed up with how to spell Quest these days. FaithQuestRadio.com. Now then, we are told here that we died to sin. We are told that we are freed from sin. The worst thing you do is going about trying to die to sin. That is a complete misunderstanding of what Paul is saying, and I know what you generally think about it. If you haven't had a clear teaching on what Paul is saying, you will go around trying to eliminate your desires by various disciplines and legalisms and mysticisms and magic. And I'm telling you, yes, Christian magic and all of this rubbish and nonsense that belongs somewhere else in Middle East, in Far Eastern religions. What Paul is saying about being dead to sin, as we have pointed out, as I've pointed out in the last few days, is that Christ, by his substitutionary death, took all of the guilt and brokenness and shame of humanity and was executed for it on our behalf in our place. That just as in the first Adam we were brought under a power of death, so in the second Adam we are brought under a power of life. So this is not talking about a psychological process by which we die to sin in the sense of gradually stop feeling the desire. It's about the fact that we are dead to the old kingdom of Adam in which death and sin reigned. So we go, as I mentioned yesterday, with Romans 6, verse 9 and 10, understanding what happened to Christ, because that is what is counted as happening to us. Are you ready? Knowing that Christ, verse 9, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. And so we, by faith, being dead to sin, affirm that death has no dominion over us. We're not talking about death at the end of life. We're talking about the spiritual forces that gradually lead us to a spiritual death, the depression, the discouragement, the despair, the defeats, the deadness that meets us on a daily basis, and we try by our flesh to revive our spirit. No, you don't have to waste time doing that. You affirm, dear Father, I thank you that this deathly feeling I have has no power over me, for you are my Savior, you are my God, you are present with me, you have raised your Son on my behalf and counted his resurrection as mine. This is how we break free from these doleful, dour, dismal, distracting, depressive moods that hit us on a regular basis. We died to sin, to all the brokenness. Death no longer has dominion over us. It does not reign. Even though our bodies may feel it, we affirm that our spirits are alive in Christ. Now look at this death more clearly, verse 10. For the death he died to sin once for all. Now once for all, notice that. Hebrews makes a big point of that. Once for all. It didn't have to do a dozen dyings, a thousand dyings, a million dyings every time you and I sin. And we don't have to do a million dyings when we sin. Or a dying every time we sin. We affirm that the death that has no dominion over us is the death that is connected with the issue of sin. The wages of sin is death. The power of sin is the law. All of that's gone. If you struggle with an addiction, if you struggle with alcohol, drugs, food issues, sexual addiction, gambling addiction, worry, anxiety, distress of all kinds, what you do when you approach this subject, this your issue, your struggle, or it approaches you, and you're in the throes of desire, or you're in the throes of defeat, you affirm, my Father in heaven, this struggle, this temptation has no power over me. For the death that Jesus died, dear Lord, is the death to sin. And that death of his is counted as mine. Where does it say that? Verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. So that the temptation and the power, that is the temptation and the draw of sin, loses its power when I affirm that it cannot condemn me to death, that it cannot judge me. You understand that the power of sin, my friend, is not simply in the force of the temptation. The power of sin is not simply in the stimulus. The power of sin is in the fact that it can condemn us and separate us from God and declare us bound to hell. But the gospel has made it so that the power of sins or sin's powers are taken away. We died to sin. We died to the law. Now, if you misunderstand this, you will be faking your Christian life till you're dead. You will be pretending. You will be saying, oh, I'm dead to sin, I'm dead to sin, I'm dead to sin, but you're not dead to sin at all. You'll be trying to convince yourself because you're misunderstanding the meaning of it. It's not that you have no more desires. It's not that you have no more failures. It is that the desires and the failures will not have the consequences that they would without grace. And the consequences without grace are condemnation, judgment, and death. But that is removed. Well, you're not saying, Colin, surely, that sin has no consequences. No, I'm not. I am saying that the consequences of condemnation and death are finished. But the consequences now lead us to grace, lead us to deeper faith. Yes, we may suffer the experiences, the consequences of our sins, but not suffering unto death, not suffering unto condemnation or despair, but rather the consequences of our sins now lead us to a falling upon God, a seeking for His mercy, a deeper fellowship with Him. This is how it works, my friend. So, you understand that death to sin is an objective reality that happened to you before you were ever born. It is not a subjective experience that you slowly accrue to yourself by some internal disciplines. You are allowed to say, now listen carefully, verse 7, "For he who has died has been freed from sin." You are free to say, perhaps for the first time in your life, "Father, I thank you that I am freed from sin." This doesn't mean you're perfect, because we're not talking about psychological freedom from sin, where you have no desire for it anymore. That's delusion of the worst kind. It creates religious crackpots. We are talking about freedom from the condemnation of sin, freedom from the aeon of existence, the sphere of existence in which Adam lived, where death reigned. We are declaring ourselves free from the threat of the condemnation and consequences of sin, which are death. And we are now saying, "Father, I thank you that the issue of sin is over for me, because Christ is no longer under the power of death, and he died to sin once for all, and I am to reckon myself in that death and that resurrection. And therefore, Father, when I deal with sin, and when I struggle with sin now, I do so in the kingdom of grace in which there is no condemnation, in the kingdom of life in which there is no power of death, in the kingdom of reconciliation in which there is no abandonment by my heavenly Father." Ah, my friend, then you begin to make strides forward where before you were just churning the wheels in the mud. You know, many people don't realize that all of God's people are named after Isaac. Would you like to know why? Well, I'll tell you if you come to the seminar on Saturday, the 30th of July. Often unnoticed, too, is that one of these men, that is, one of the three, illustrious three, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, goes through a faith battle that explains the very nature of faith with more psychological clarity than anywhere else in the Bible, even counting the book of Romans. Would you like to know which one? Well, I'll tell you if you come to the seminar on Saturday, the 30th of July. And often unrecognized also is the fact that we can know how faith is trained by how God himself, step by step, trains one of these men. Would you like to know which one? I'll tell you at the seminar on Saturday, the 30th of July. That's just in a few days' time, my friend. Saturday, 30th of July at La Quinta Inn in Lakewood. That's 7190 West Hampden Avenue in Lakewood, South Frontage Road between Wadsworth and Sheridan. We start at 9 o'clock in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon. Come a little early for your orange juice, your coffee, and any little treats that anybody brings. There's a break for lunch. And admission is by donation. If you can afford it, please bring $70 to $110. That helps the annual budget of the ministry. But if you can't, don't worry yourself. Just drop your $5 or your $1 bill or whatever you can afford, or $25, in the envelope. Nobody's going to be looking over your shoulder. I look forward to seeing you on that day then, Saturday the 30th of July at La Quinta Inn. The title, "So What's This About Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?" And I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.